Very, very good sign. What have you got to be? The best way to introduce a chap who actually specialises in violence prevention. Of course, we're just talking about tough love. That's the important thing. Before we actually introduce the next solo, as I say, it is the Leonis Meister himself. He will probably be the only person who might acknowledge. There might be another listener out there who sort of acknowledges that I feel very similar to Sulu and Riley in an episode of a certain show where a spaceship was in orbit around Psi 2000, and I'm just having to sort of gradually sort of deal with this sort of black ink that's appeared on my hand, which is not good at all, Phil. So as you appreciate, just from that opening statement, as we say, Phil Leonis, welcome to the show. Anything could happen in the next half hour.
Well, especially as you are entering your naked time.
I see what you did there. Nicely done. Yeah.
Yeah. Reference to the actually named the episode you were referencing.
You did. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Which is what I can be counted on. What an interesting turn of events the show has taken, and dovetails so nicely with much of what Dean and I were speaking about on this week's Chillpack Hollywood Hour.
Exactly. Why do we do this? You know, no beach to walk on. What can I say?
I'd like to. I enjoy that you so boldly stood up for Hansel and Gretel. Witch hunters, which has been just ridiculed everywhere it's open.
Yeah.
But, of course, understandably, your admiration for Gemma Arterton, who has never taken off here in this country, and yet Tamara Drew was a wonderful film, and she is...
And she was Strawberry Fields in Quantum of Solace, one of your famous Bond movie likes.
But, of course, again, a Bond film that was utterly rejected by critics in this country. So she's not a name here.
Is it Gemma's fault she was born with six fingers? You know, surely not. You know, never mind.
I don't know who this surely not is that you're speaking of. Was that the character's name? See what I did there? You used the word surely
It's the meta narrative.
But here's my problem, Alex, and I'm going to start with the negative because you know I don't always like dealing strictly in the positive.
Indeed.
Here is my problem with the Hansel and Gretel witch hunters, the Jack the Giant Slayers, the 94 Snow White adaptations we've had in the last 12 months. When do we actually get the fairy tales? I mean, all these revisionist or sequels to these great fairy tales, when do we get straight adaptations of them? Because the actual source material itself doesn't really need to be sequelized to me. What it needs to be done is truly explored. These were rich psychologically. These were scary. These were exciting stories. Why not actually tell the real stories? That's what I want to know. So answer me that, Alex.
I'll open it up to the team. Grace, would you like the real stories or the sexed up adaptations?
I guess once they've done the adaptation once sort of thing, they just sort of decide to just take it wherever they like and put.
Who are they, Grace? Who are they?
The people in Hollywood. I don't know.
Phil, it's the people's fault.
The people.
it's the clones. That's who's doing it. The clones are doing it.
The clones. Katie, what are your views on this?
I quite like the traditional story, but I can see why they change it, because it would be quite repetitive, I think.
So Pretty Woman, a modern-day Pygmalion Cinderella.
That's a different thing. You've brought up a different issue, like the way that West Side Story is Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
That's taking classic stories and classic themes and then reinterpreting. I mean, this is what Shakespeare did. His stories were based upon stories that were much older than his plays. And you reinterpret them, you breathe life back into them, but because the fundamental story is so universal.
I'm sorry, Phil, I have to just alert the listeners of the fact that there's been a Smurf-like a lady dressed, basically, if you can imagine a kind of slave girl from Star Trek, the sort of green, but actually she was all blue, wasn't it? Well, Stephanie, would you actually describe the person who just passed by the studio?
I was going
there?
For an avatar. I think she's been avatar. Listening to our sci-fi section and just wanted to be part of the show.
Physically, actually, yeah. Mm.
But who wouldn't want to be part of the show, you know?
Sorry about
that. How come we didn't see that on the webcam?
Shout about. Why, let me go fetch it.
Why do you have a webcam if not for those very moments?
Well, that's very true. It's out in a different zone. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Well, I'll move on from this, but it just doesn't seem to that the effort is being made to breathe life into these universal stories so much as to I was going to use a word that is used in a Tarantino title, so
no,
I can't
yes.
do that.
Yes, absolutely.
But to just basically steal from it, to take a title that they think might have built-in public awareness and just squeeze money out of it. There is no effort made because there's an actual connection to the source material and an effort to remind audiences of a new generation what is so wonderfully complex or moving or scary or dark or inspirational about the original stories.
I hear what you're saying, but I'd still say that, you know, given that it's directed by a Norwegian director, I still think, and of course you've got Atle Orvarsson with this wonderful interpretation of Augsburg burning in the background, I still think Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters in 3D is worth checking out. But obviously, Nikki, don't take the children because, you know, it's 15.
Oh, we had to leave the cinema for Up, so I'm not sure we're ready for.
Well, I would also not take the children because they might have higher standards than ours. Okay, so moving on,
yes.
I appreciated, as I said to you before we came on, that you somehow knew to play Cruel to Be Kind, Nick Lowe, which was the first song I ever heard when I got off the tube in London, arriving for my time, and of course the first time I came to London, it was for the Sci-Fi London Film Festival to show the world premiere of the one science fiction film I've made.
So Spectres.
Your musical selection ties with the whole science fiction discussion.
Yeah.
How do you do it, Alex?
You need to plug in to the dimension that goes beyond ours, just that dimension of sight and sound, the in-between world, the kind of midweek drive zone that we refer to.
I just thought that it's what they mean when they say through the magic of radio.
That's true.
All week long, I guess, I've been hearing responses from a one-hour discussion Dean and I had about science fiction and why science fiction matters and why people might enjoy it. So it's interesting to have it come up on this discussion today. I just jotted down while listening to the previous discussion the title of a handful of films that have come out in the last 15, 18 months, maybe 2 years, just off the top of my head, all of which are science fiction, and yet none of which get looked at as science fiction. Because they're so unique and because they all in their own way so uniquely explore the mysteries of the human heart. And Alex mentioned Cloud Atlas. There's Never Let Me Go, Another Earth, Melancholia, The Tree of Life, and Holy Motors. And these are just off the top of my head from around the world, a handful of films that have nothing in common with each other except maybe that they are all really heartfelt, personal expressions by the people who made them, and they all are in the science fiction canon. So there's no way of saying that this one thing is science fiction, no matter what we might think of when we hear that. And for anyone who loves literature, as I do, I grew up not being a lover of cinema. I didn't discover my love of cinema until I was maybe 12 or 13 years old. As a child, I read voraciously. And one of the reasons I gravitated towards science fiction when I did become fond of films was, to me, science fiction is the one genre within which metaphor and allegory which I so loved in literature, that was the one genre where these literary traditions were allowed to exist and thrive, was in science fiction, be it in allegories about man's place in the universe, man's place versus society, the individual versus society, or about the alienation of man, or such political issues as the communist witch hunt. These could all be explored visually in terms of metaphor and allegory. So science fiction has that literary tradition to it.
Stephanie, as a joint English and journalism student, does that now sort of acknowledge the fact that you might be checking out some science fiction-based material?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I've seen films and not realised that they were categorised as science fiction. Mm. So I've learnt something new today.
Well, and I would just say, and the reason that I really appreciate this discussion and why it's so important is I don't think that there's really any more important job that storytellers have than fundamentally asking questions about what it means to be human, and about what our pitfalls are as we move forward as a species. What are the pitfalls that threaten our humanity, and also ask questions about why is the future worth striving towards, and these questions fit in so naturally within the science fiction realm. And I say this again as someone who's only ever made one science fiction film, and when I did make it, it focused on the relationship between a workaholic mother and her suicidal daughter. So again, that wasn't really thought of as quote-unquote science fiction because there were no spaceships or aliens in it. But it was very much a science fiction story. But really, I'm just someone who loves stories that examine what it means to be human. And I think those questions are profoundly at home within science fiction. And one science fiction film, just to wrap this up, that I can't wait for is the new film from Alfonso Cuarón, the wonderful filmmaker who made Children of Men and the best Harry Potter movie of them all, Prisoner of Azkaban. He's got a 3D film coming out called Gravity, starring Sandra Bullock, who plays an astronaut who's stranded in space, and who's thinking back on her life during her final hours.
I trust you're appreciating, Phil, the counterpoint, because that's deliberately what I've done, a good counterpoint between your description of Spectres and the upcoming Gravity, and with the little subtext, the music bed, of one of Nikki Wells's favourites, of course. Yes, it's the Oberkirchen Children's Choir. And this is what I feel that Chilpack Hollywood could probably actually use, just to kind of add a little bit more flavour, that every so often when Dean is off to save a movie, because he's been called upon to actually help, we want to turn this movie into a comedy, the Oberkirchen Children's Choir is the best place to actually go to. But enough of that. What else have you enjoyed about the show, Dean? Phil? Sorry, it's been a naming challenge today. As you appreciate.
You kind of got me 50% right, because as I've said before, Dean Haglund and I do form one fully functional human being. So,
there you go.
What else did I want to... I actually had questions that I wanted to ask of your young co-presenters, actually, but let me see...
Does that include Nikki Wells? Of course it does.
What are you saying?
What?
I was just saying, does that include Nikki Wells? And of course it does, was my immediate response. It was just a...
Well, what I was curious of, and this came out of actually, I did a radio show last night that was the first ever episode of a brand new radio show called The Raw Talent, which focuses on people working in the entertainment business. And the reason that I did the show was because the host was a young man who once worked for me when I used to direct crowd scenes for big movies. And I think we worked together on, maybe it was the first Spider-Man movie, because I did all the Times Square crowd scenes in that film. And now here he is, he's launching his own radio show, and I wanted to get a good start, so I was a guest on the show.
You're just basically a fairy godfather, aren't you, you know, of happiness, Phil?
Sure, if you say so. I'm going to assume that fairy godfather in England sounds a lot more masculine and rugged than it does here in America, and therefore I will say yes.
Nice.
But I was curious, actually, about, some people that are fortunate enough to get to be your co-presenters. How many of them have a desire to pursue broadcasting as a career? And if not, then how do they think that this experience will serve them in their own aspirations?
Nicola Clancy.
Oh, yes. Well, I'd really like to go into radio broadcasting. And I think it's the experience. You need that, really. I've gone to university, got a degree, but it's the key skills you need to kind of build on. And that's what I really want to get into and get the experience doing. So, yeah, it is a worthwhile experience being here. So,
do you feel you've been developing skills? Do you feel you've been learning things?
Yes, and I really want to kind of expand on it a bit more. Now I'm actually living in Lincoln, because I wasn't living here, only a while now that I've been living here. So
it's a different dimension.
So,
Leicester.
Yes, I do want to obviously expand on it, as soon as I can, really. So,
Leicester's best-kept secret communications graduate. Now live and direct on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM.
Thanks for that. And Nicola, do you feel that you're confident? Your confidence in communicating outside the studio, in either in person with people or in classes or what have you, in professional. Do you think that your confidence has grown through your experience in doing this show?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I work with customer service. I work, talking to a lot of people all day, every day. So it kind of comes hand in hand, really. So it's quite good. You can kind of put your voice on and just kind of get in the zone. And, yeah, it all kind
of
helps.
Have you found yourself, Nicola, regularly asking customers, have they had a reasonably interesting time for it? And are they likely to return to do more business with you?
No, but maybe I should start saying that.
Nicola Clancy has now arrived in the Siren Studios. And your listening pleasure has just increased tenfold.
Of course, you do realise, Phil, that we'll be waiting your sort of jingles and idents for Stephanie and Grace as the thing proceeds, because clearly there's always Nikki Wells.
Nikki Wells, rock star, romance trilogy creator, mother, cook, and officially the first German midweek drive rockette.
Not that I want to actually rush you, but you did say you had one for Ed Wellman that you were actually beginning to coalesce together. Anyway, sorry, enough of such stuff.
I will. I'll certainly make all these, and I'm glad you're playing all these, because, of course, we've run out of things to talk about.
can I just say, I love my jingle. Thank you. I've never had a jingle before. It's been the absolute highlight of my month.
I really enjoyed hearing what Nicola had to say, because, personally, something Dean and I were talking about on this show, I actually only realized within the last couple of weeks, because of a question that we got or a discussion that was on another show, that my ability to communicate my ideas on set when making productions has increased dramatically through the opportunity that I have each week on my show and on Alex's show now to talk about these issues. And so I've actually become, interestingly enough, a much better filmmaker, because of my ability to work with other people and to communicate ideas in terms that could be understood, because of the opportunity I've simply had as a broadcaster. So if there's enough time, I'd love to hear what Ed and Katie and what others.
Okay, let's go with that. Starting off with Grace.
I don't really know what to say. I guess I don't really know what I want to do yet. So I'm just here for the fun. and it does make you more confident. If you compared my first show to now, you'd probably see a massive difference. I wouldn't even want to.
And as yet, we haven't revealed, but I feel the time has now come, and I'm sure you appreciate this, Phil, to reveal that Grace is also a Christmas elf.
Was a Christmas elf.
And always will be a Christmas
yes.
elf. Katie?
It does improve your confidence. I'm still not very good at presentations, though. I've got one in 2 weeks, and it's on American consumerism.
Well, we'll be able to
help you with that. Theodore Freilinghuysen.
No, exactly. It's American consumerism. We've moved on. Stephanie.
I'm going to have to let everybody down here and say the longer I study journalism, the more definite I am that I do not want to pursue a career in journalism. But in all fairness, before I came to the uni, I knew I wanted to take up the English side and become a teacher at the end of it. So
I don't think Phil was actually referring to journalism on this show, actually. I guess I'm wrong, Phil. I mean, you were actually saying, what was Stephanie getting out of this show at all, or indeed if you wish to go into broadcasting?
Well, yeah, or did it inspire you? I mean, that's an interesting point, but I thought what a very succinct and specific way of expressing that she knows what she does not want to do and has learned what she wants to do, and this may have had an impact in that. So you definitely are planning to pursue communication. I mean, there's no more important communication than the direct communication, I think, between teachers and students.
Mm-hmm. Ed.
Oh, well, I've had a couple of texts, actually, from somebody who used to work at the BBC, an absolutely brilliant broadcaster. Our first text was, ooh, Nikki Wells, yay, with five yays. So that was good.
Yay!
And she said, Stephanie, you're brilliant.
Oh!
So, you know,
I'm
you should maybe...
I'm sorry that I've let everyone down.
to answer your question, Phil, community radio, it's...
A bit of a downer on Katie and Grace and Nicola and myself.
Oh, sorry. There will be further texts for you.
Which you think we're all rubbish.
No, she doesn't. Community radio, yeah, it's new, it's fun, never a chore. And Grace, as you said, fun. And being a co-presenter, yeah, it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? Because you're sort of listening to six, seven people at the same time trying to stay on board. So, yeah, it's a really, really great experience, Phil.
Does that help, Phil?
Well,
given that you probably didn't listen to the first hour of the show.
I think if Siren FM knows at all what they're doing, they should already be programming an entire hour where all you do is read texts from people.
It's called genuine interactivity in every sense of the word.
No, Ed is, come on, Ed is going to eventually replace me on Chilpack Hollywood Hour. So, you know, it's nice that Alex is grooming you.
Hey, please, we have a completely different term over here when we start talking about the G word. You know, please, you know, it's developing, you know, Lord above.
I want to get back to something that Grace said about, you know, she doesn't, you said you don't know what you want to do. Do you ever feel a pressure that you're supposed to know what you want to do?
Yeah, like a lot of people in my year are very like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm like, I'm just sort of hanging out, see what's going to happen, sort of attitude.
Very good.
Well, and so when you're in the studio and you get to hear or interact or meet such a wide range of people, I mean, does it spark ideas for you? And do you sometimes come into direct contact then with possibilities that intrigue you?
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting listening to all these interesting people. So I guess, yeah.
Well, what I love is, obviously, I don't just contribute to the midweek drive. I love listening to this show. And what I love about it is that no matter how obscure the particular field that someone might be in, and let's be honest, sometimes Alex finds and celebrates obscurity, as he did with the Star Trek reference and his hand, the people who he gets to come on to this show, both in studio and over the phone, are all really passionate about what they do, and it's fun to encounter and listen to and interact with people who are passionate about what they do. The passion that you bring to it is more important than what it is, I think.
It's the way you think. That's your purpose. It's never been about what work you choose, what gifts you develop, or what niche you fill. Let these be for your pleasure. Think only as you can think, which will lead to feelings that only you can feel, from which connections will be made, lives will be changed, and worlds will come tumbling into existence. This is why you're here. Thanks, the universe.
Mike Dooley, of course, currently in Tahiti.
How did you do that?
Because...
How did you have the note from the universe? You know how you did it, Alex? It's because you, my friend, are the master.
we just dropped this whole thing together. As we head up to the news, let's ask those last two questions to Phil Leanders, please. Stephanie, in a nice teacher manner, all right? So, yeah.
Okay, I think this is more of Stephanie manner. I'm not quite in teacher mode yet. But have you had a chat with us today? Have you enjoyed it?
I've absolutely enjoyed it.
He has indeed had a chat with us.
I can't concentrate. I'm still getting over Ed sharing that text with me. Yeah, I've just got a little bit of a big head and I can't concentrate.
The headphones are exploding. Never mind.
But yes, I'm glad you've had a good chat with us today. So can we speak to you again soon?
Absolutely. You guys can call me whenever, whether you're doing a radio show or not.
Yeah, for therapy. Awesome. Awesome. Quite awesome question answering there, Stephanie. Well done
indeed.
Have you enjoyed the show, Nicola?
Yes, very much. Thank you very much.
Back again next week?
Yes, I will be.
Excellent. Nikki?
Totally addicted. Please, can I come back soon?
I think so, yes. And Ed?
Until the morning, yes.
Yes, okay. Midweek Drive morning edition sorted through from that point of view. We might point out indeed to Penny Evans. Big shout out for Penny Evans. Hello, Penny Evans. Because she's away, her parents are out. So for some reason, she wasn't listening live today. Was that right?
There was. And is that the second shout out we've done for her?
The second.
She'll be very mad.
I don't even know if she listens to the Midweek Drive morning edition. It's taken her 3.5 months to work her way through the Marathon podcast.
But she has finished now.
Yeah, we should always start again. You know, it's not, they're not going anywhere. Grace, have you enjoyed the show?
Yeah, always do.
Katie?
Yes, I'll be back next week.
Yeah, after your Birmingham trip again.
Yes.
Sort out those marriage proposals from rock stars. We're back in. Stephanie, you're back with us tomorrow morning?
If I can string a sentence together a little better, then I'll be here.
So we haven't quite reached a stage where we're getting your people to speak to our people, given obviously the last sort of text that's coming through. So,
well, you know, it's going to go through the BBC.
It's extremely good as far as that's concerned. It's so wondrous. Okay, that's pretty much a wrap. We thank the folk who were actually involved telephonically. That would be Cameron Tilbury, Derek Hamley, Samantha Viner. Actually, she wasn't telephonic. She was in the studio. Thanks to Samantha, in case Michelle Munro, Richard Edwards, and your good self, Phil Leanness. We're just going to be heading up to the news now with, of course, the usual siren news jingle, or indeed, as Alana Rain would have actually said, 2 minutes of verbal whiplash. Every time. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye!
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.